Welcome to another song title challenge where the question is, climbers, how would you write this one? Are you doing the good work you need to do on your title before you walk into that writing room? This is a episode where climbers, listeners to this podcast, send in their song titles to info@daredevilproduction.com. Production is singular. There is no S. info@daredevilproduction.com. And I put them in a folder. You need to put song title challenge in the subject line or STC in the subject line so it gets into the right folder. If you don't, it won't. Okay. Help me out. I get a boatload of emails every day. I want to make sure that yours gets a chance, you know, so make sure that works out. And then I spring the title live on the podcast here as we're recording it to Brent and to our esteemed guest who we're about to introduce in a second. And then the three of us try to cook up five or six different conceptual angles for writing that title. Sometimes the first thing that you think about is the right thing. That's the best way to go. But a lot of times it's cliche, it's cheese, and you can take a mundane title like The Dance. Just think about how The Dance looks in a hookbook. You know, and then you cook up an angle on it, and all of a sudden it's like whoop, 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 whoop. It's like huge. And it's an epic song that will last forever in infamy and blah, blah, blah. So anyway, this is a fun creative exercise. It's not a co-write in any way, shape, or form. You can use all of what we say. You can use none of what we say. We do demand to be invited to the number one party. And, the sort of byproduct that we found from doing this was that this is an incredible exercise. It takes you 15 or 20 minutes to breathe new life into super old hooks. Because you put a hook in a hook book and it had enough energy on it for you to kind of want to put that in the book. And then for whatever reason, it doesn't get wrote, right? So then you go back and you look at that. But over time, it kind of wilts like lettuce. The energy sort of falls off on it. And you're like, I don't even remember why I put that in there because it's a crazy title or whatever. But then if you do this song title challenge, all of a sudden you can twist something around and it becomes super exciting. And if you're like my boy Brent here, it turns into Cuts. And it gets on a radio. So that's a hell of a good thing. So Brent, why don't you introduce our guest here? I'm super excited.
Yes, our guest is a native of Canada. He is on Warner Canada. He's had multiple number one hits on the Canadian country music chart, including songs Airwaves, Drink About Me, A Few Good Stories, Make a Life Not a Living. So we first, we were talking about it off air. We first met about 12 years ago. When you were making a trip down to Nashville. And so we're finally circling back around. It feels like it's been about 12 years, but you've held up a lot better than I have. So Brent Kissel, welcome to The Climb.
Yeah, welcome. Thank you for saying yes.
Hey, fellas. Thank you very much for having me. And it's crazy to think how fast time goes by, because I remember the writer room and I remember hanging out with Ted Hewitt, who was my producer at the time with you, Brent. And you know, and you take a couple of titles back and forth and before you know it, you've got a song. And I still remember the chorus, you know, a dozen years later. It's very, very special that we do get a chance to reconnect. And what a great idea this is.
Yeah, this is a lot of fun. So, and, you know, when Johnny springs this on us, we are not constrained by genre. So if you get a reggae idea for this, you know, angle for this, throw it out there. So this is just throwing, as Johnny likes to say, throw it, all the spaghetti against the wall, see what sticks. And, you know, we just want to encourage people that, oftentimes, not always, but oftentimes the idea that you need to go with, the angle you need to go with, is not the first one. Usually it's the more cliche ones that everybody else is going to think about. And so if we want to go past that and try to find something a little more interesting. So we just want to be encouraging and also just let people know it's okay to dare to suck and some of the ideas and angles we throw out.
That's right.
Dare to suck. Not great. But this is a safe space. So we're the human cannibals here. So
there you go. And before we get into this, I have to get to the bottom of something here. On the podcast, y'all can't see this. We got video going that'll end up going up on YouTube here once we get our butts wired together. But Brett has like a tattoo on his forearm that it's a bunch of numbers. So it's one of three things. It's either the birth dates of your children, a combination to three different locks, right? Or possibly some kind of Fibonacci sequence. Like what's up with the tattoos?
Well, I'm very proud of the tattoos. And yeah, your first instinct was the right instinct. They are the first dates of my little kids. And my wife and I just a couple days ago had our fourth little baby.
Oh, so congrats.
Thank you. Yeah, we're over the moon. You know, we love our family with all our hearts. So we've got two daughters and now two sons. So nice. We've got a pretty complete little family. And I got a tattoo appointment in 3 days to go get the fourth birthday right underneath and kind of complete my my arm artwork.
Yeah, if you see,
that's a lockdown baby right there, y'all. That's a lockdown baby. I wonder if there was a big swell. And you remember like when they had the blackout in New York and there was like this massive burst of baby births within that like 9 months later, 10 months later. And I wonder if that happened during the lockdown, like how many people just, you know.
Are you kidding me? Everybody, Kane Brown, Thomas Rhett, us, every artist, every band member, every crew member. It's crazy. Like the class of what's 18 years from 2020, like literally the class of 2038 and 39 is going to be huge.
That's right. Even in a small town, like where I grew up, my graduating class in Delavan, Wisconsin, I think it was like 186 people. You know, it's probably going to be like 400 in 2038.
Yeah, everyone's coming off the road. Yeah.
Well, I'm home. Yeah. What do we want to do? For a long time. All right. So let's get going on this. Today's song title comes from a longtime climber and somebody that I just really dig. I know this cat. I worked with him a little bit. His name is Cash Memphis.
Cash.
And he is a like spiritual rapper.
Hip-hop. Christian
hip-hop. What?
Impossible.
Yeah.
I think. Yeah.
So I'm gonna tell the title and then I'm gonna give a hot take on this before we kind of dig into it. So the title is Automatic Teller Machine. Automatic Teller Machine. And I think that I think there's like a million different ways you can go with this, and I've got 500,000 of them already in my head as I typed this out and sent out the invites for you guys to come onto the podcast platform. So, man, I love it. And I think there's just so many, ways that this can go.
Cash, I don't like you as much as I used to, buddy.
I know. I like it. I'm like, okay, so I'll kick it off here.
Yeah.
I'll kick it off here. So when I did the couple projects in LA with this rock band called Candygram for Mongo, they were all like friends. They're all like buds. And one of the songs we had was called Shannon Told Me, and it was written by one of our friends. Like all of us, the band started because we were the husbands of the wives that were all super tight. And so you have to go to these parties and you end up hanging out and you're like, oh my God, oh, you play? Yeah. Well, we should start a band. Okay. You know, that way we don't have to be like the weird, awkward, we're at this stupid party and nobody knows everybody except for the girls and blah, blah, blah. Shannon was this sort of, she was the gossip
girl
in the group. Right. And so, I mean, the song started out, if you want the world to know, tell Shannon it's a secret, right? That's the opening, the opening line. I just think so, like automatic teller machines.
Cool. It's telling everything.
It could be about a gossip. It could be about a gossip girl. I think of, there's a really funny routine and it's from a disgraced comedian these days, but Bill Cosby talking about his kids where he refers to one kid as the informer, you know, and then guess what? He didn't do what you said, you know, so that it could be about a kid, you know, the automatic teller machine. And then the third thing I think of like just an idea to go down would be like, what money comes out of the automatic teller machine? So what does that mean? Right. What does that mean? Because a million ways you could go with that.
Yeah. It's, man, to me, the challenge is how does that sing? You know, because first thing I want to do is like throw an ATM and ATM can sing at least better. I mean, Brett's the singer here. I'm certainly not. But that would be my challenge on that. But thankfully, we don't have to make it sing today. We're just thinking conceptually. So,
yeah, I think.
Yeah.
It's a very difficult title. And, you know, in previous generations, or, you know, eras of my own career, I would probably pass on a title like that real quick. But now I do like the opportunity to kind of sit through it and see where this could go, because you just never, ever know what's going to hit. And there are some wild titles in different genres. Mm. like, you know, all about that bass. Okay.
Yeah.
What does that mean? Okay. Well, bass means booty and yeah. like, you know, and it's
bottom
and,
end.
Wow. Like what a cool and bottom end. And like, what a cool song that turned out to be. So now the way that I am, my brain is going, okay, well, actually, could we make this work? And actually, could we make it cool? And the way you said ATM is way easier to rhyme. Maybe the title is called Automatic Teller Machine, but it's like, girl, and it's if it was a hip hop thing, because country boys wouldn't necessarily say this, but if it was a little bit more hip hop or a pop genre, it's like, girl, I ain't your ATM. Like, you can't just come out and take money and take love whenever you want.
Right.
You know, I ain't your ATM.
I like that. Roll up 24-hour service and yeah.
Exactly. You know?
Yeah.
And you know, either that or there's going to be fees, or you're going to have to fill me up again.
Yeah.
You know, girl, I ain't your ATM, and dad, I got to fill me up again. Like, then maybe all of a sudden it goes, and it's a girl who's taken advantage of a guy, and that's our process. That's kind of where my head went.
Yeah, I think that could definitely work as an analogy. Is like, you know, the bank account that just bounced, man. You got no funds, you know. Sorry, you know. And I think, yeah, for a hip hop thing, you might be able to say automatic teller machine. Like, Cash could probably make it sound cool. Like,
yeah, because he could roll that. Because the way he raps, he could rap.
Yeah. And it could work.
That's a good point. Well, like, it works with the rap, maybe not with the melody. ATM the melody, automatic teller machine on the rap.
Exactly.
Well, yeah. And I think automatic teller machine is so many syllables that actually that's kind of an Eminem thing that he would do. Like, there's so many syllables that come in certain parts of his songs, but in this particular thing, like automatic teller machine, the da 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 no funds to fill me up, the da 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 my cup, like it actually could go really cool. So that's why when I first heard automatic teller machine, I'm like, oh, for you got to be kidding me. This is my first time on the podcast, and this is what you thought you were doing?
Hey, we didn't tell you it was going to be all puppy dogs and ice cream here, pal.
Yeah. But now I'm like, hold it. This actually could have some legs.
Yeah. If
the same way you were saying, Brent, of like, and that's how it goes usually in the room with me, is I start writing down on whether my phone, my laptop, or just piece of paper, all these different ideas like that relate to it. No funds, check bounce, no balance, insufficient. You know, different, insufficient, and like it actually can get pretty cool. You know,
I got another.
So I think, and like just the way that you sort of rhythmically kind of rattled that off, Brett. I mean, it could be a very freaking unique country song, where but you kind of rap the hook. Right. Like you got all these great melodies and everything. And maybe it's like, you know how American Kids, it's got that. I don't know. What do you call that? It's like a second hook.
You're
growing up in little pink houses, making out on living room couches, blowing that smoke on Saturday night. A little messed up, but we're all right. Yeah. And that's not the chorus, it's though. Like it's like this. Post. It's a post hook. Like it could be like a post hook. That's just a rap. You know what I mean? That's just like that. I mean, I can just hear it like doubled and super cool. And like everybody could be infectious rap, because everybody could just like pop along with that like live and it would be a killer. That could be a great song.
And what if, so I think the ATM like analogy of like, you know, she just, you know, using me for my money or whatever. And I'm not that is works. It's like, how do we, you know, how do we turn it positive? And that's part of the fun of this. Cause I would look at this title and go look away from it as fast as I could. If, you know, it was just in my hook book, but the fun is diving into it. What if it's like, you know, I'm her ATM. Cause I'm the automatic teller machine. Tell her she's beautiful. Tell her she's wonderful. Tell her how much I need her.
There we go.
It's just automatic, man. I'm our automatic teller machine. Tell her everything she wants to hear.
Now, you know, even though
she loves her ATM,
that is really cool to spin it in that positive way. Mm-hmm. But then I try to bring it back to the most relatable thing for middle America, and the most relatable thing for, you know, blue collar Canadians, that so many of those are my fans. That is that actually something you would say? I think about it. Whereas in that regard of what you just said, yes, it's very cool and it's very unique. But you know, I just don't know if we're going to just say, I tell her that I love her, I tell her that I need her, then it's kind of just easier to go cliche, get rid of the title and just write the song about, I love you, baby, you're the one. And it's just as simple as that. And that song's been written 700 times in Nashville this year, and it's only March, but it still works. If you go negative with it and you're standing up for yourself, that's also tough because a lot of country boys don't do that. Country girls do that. And I'm definitely not being sexist, and I'm not trying to say that this is like what the male and the female roles need to be. But where you find success in country music is the girl doesn't need the man. She doesn't. Right. Carrie Underwood has proven that if you screw me over, I'm going to wreck your truck and I'm going to make you pay. And Miranda Lambert has said that many times. So very hard for a country boy to say, girl, you're taking advantage of me and I ain't going to do it anymore. Whereas in other genres, I think you could get away with that. Whereas a country guy, in a lot of ways, Thomas Rhett is kind of always the hero. Thomas Rhett is not going to tell his beautiful wife, Lauren, you are using me like an ATM. I'm working my ass off. You're doing nothing and you're out. That would never fly in country music.
No, not going to happen.
But you're right about that. In rap, I mean, you got Gold Digger, right? I ain't saying she's a gold digger, but that it could go negative and definitely be a hip hop thing that would work.
Mm-hmm.
What about I like the teller part.
Yeah, we're trying to find a way to, that's kind of a natural thing, is like look at each word and say, how can we play off this? And so teller is kind of probably the easiest word off that to play.
About this? Maybe this is too much of a stretch. It might be too complex, but there are some relationships where, on the surface, right. And they're great relationships. They work well, but on the surface, it would seem like the enforcer is the female.
Yeah.
Right. And so what if we put the girl up on the pedestal and we sort of celebrate that, right? Like she's the automatic teller machine, and she's a girl that just won't take shit from anybody, you know? She's like, and so she'll tell you, she'll tell her.
And she's money, right? She's money all day long, you know?
Now that's good. She's money. She's like an ATM.
Right.
It's just money all day long.
ATM always telling me what? No. Okay. What else?
Well, that's good. Always telling me. Now we ATM. Put it back on where she's always raising up the guy.
It could be. Yeah. I mean, she could always be telling you good or bad. And going back to what Brett said, I think it's true because I'm definitely not an ATM to my wife as much as I want to be. Like, I'm more of a, the five love languages, like words of affirmation. That's definitely me. And so I'm better about that than some, but not as good as others. You know, it's like not as good as I want to be. So that could even be a thing. Like, I want to be your ATM. I want to be like, maybe it's somebody who's in a relationship and is like, I want to be her ATM. I want to give her everything she needs, but I also want to be the automatic teller machine, automatically tell her, because I don't open up my feelings as much. And I wish it was just automatic. Like, I wish it were. I wish I were her ATM. I wish I could just, but I don't. I step in it, or it comes out wrong, or I think about it later. I'm not as open with my, how much I value her and tell her.
That's relatable right there. I like that.
Relatable as well. And this, I want to be your ATM, is funny because, but you can mean it in both ways. Like, I want to shower her with money and stuff, but it's, I don't know, but it's fun to play with these different ideas.
Well, so what about I'm thinking of, God Bless the Boy, from Cody Johnson. And it's just all about, like, it all came around from his daughter, being 5 years old, just being incorrigible,
Yeah.
So what if you do something like that? I mean, that's obviously like a really, really great sort of concept where, and you sort of do go with that sort of informer thing. Like, she's an automatic teller machine. Where, I mean, how many times because kids always tell the truth. How many times have your kids like embarrassed you, man? You know what I mean? Where they said something.
All the time. They can't lie. They don't lie.
Yeah. I mean, my wife and I were like, we better be living right, because Quill is going to tell everybody in the world whatever's going on, whatever our business is. If he overhears it, you will too. Yeah.
So, that, I mean, how many great stories, yeah, how much good furniture could you pull out of some just straight up honest stories that happened to you where your kid was like, you know, what was that? You know, and it could be even just, it doesn't mean that you're living wrong or anything. It'd just be something where they said,
yeah,
you know, it's just something at the wrong time because they don't lie. It's like, we got to remember she's the automatic teller machine. Like,
yeah.
Then there's another angle that could go that has been relatable in country music in a lot of ways, and it's the young couple. They don't have to be young, but it's the young couple that don't have a lot of money, but boy, mm-hmm, they sure dream big. And so yeah, it's one of the things about painting the picture of Paris and Grand Canyon and New York City skyline and a Hawaii sunset. But I can't afford that. But you know, if I was an ATM, one day I'll get there. And you may not be able to take out money, but you can just take out and withdraw all the love that you want. And I wish I could do that for you. But
yeah.
Now this is a very interesting thing. So you see the three of us on this call. And so I had it really good in my head and I thought about it, but it didn't come out my mouth the way that I wanted it to. So then I also kind of withdraw in a moment. I'm like, no, that actually didn't hit and it didn't all come together the way that I had anticipated. So yeah, that's a very, very special thing about being in the room with either guys you know or guys you don't know, and either being embarrassed and be like, yeah, that idea really didn't fly, or be like, yeah, whatever, I'm with my buddies. They know that
yeah,
I'm good for at least one idea a day, but that wasn't it.
Oh man, I know that feeling for sure. But you gotta take those swings or you
know. Yeah, I like, you know, from what you just said, Brett, it could be kind of like a sort of modest angle, like buy me a boat, right? Where it's like, if I had $1 million, it could buy me a boat and a truck to pull it, you know? Yeah. And it's just all about not needing anything but the, you know, the you know, maybe not needing all that stuff. Like, and I want to be, but here's what I can't. So I like that. Like that angle is great. Like you spelled it out. And so it's like, you know, we could do this. We could, you know, Paris and Spain and Italy and blah, 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 and all this stuff. But you know what? I'm going to be your ATM right here. And that's three letters. Like there's, what else can we, what other words could mean ATM that could be, you know, attached to that?
You know, all that matters.
That just happened.
Baxter names. We should make that a no. It's ATMs. And so that could be, yeah, you know, what if it's like, I want to be all these other things, but all I feel like is your automatic teller machine. I want to be all that matter. I want to be your, you know, I want to be your ATM. I want to be all that matters. I want to be all the man you need. I want to be, you know, whatever. Yeah. And then, but I just feel like it's automatic teller machine.
That's fun. That's interesting.
And then there's another thing that I was thinking about that is just a story song, Billy Currington's Good Directions.
Yeah.
Where that song just, it there's so much furniture and everything is so descriptive. And it's like Friday at 5, da 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 da, you know, went to the Quick Stop and you know, six pack and this and that. And you know, got a Slim Jim and a Gatorade and and everything like that. And then I pulled out some money. And the best thing I ever seen is that a girl buy that automatic teller machine. And it's just like, it just is centered around that one piece of literal furniture at the 7-Eleven.
Oh, that's brilliant.
How you meet this girl. And then, you know, and it's just this whole feeling that captures, it's a 3-minute song about a 30-second encounter at the automatic teller machine, at the ATM, or she's the girl at the bank.
Well, and you keep going. Yeah, the ATM broke that wasn't working that day. So thank God for that broken, not, you know, ATM or whatever, because I had to go to the window and I haven't seen that ATM in years because I'm always going through the drive at the window with her.
Yeah,
that could be fun, too.
And then literally freaking happened to me.
Oh, yeah.
Straight up. That happened to me. Like that it was out of service. The ATM was out of service. I go in I don't know, for about 8 months to a year or something, I dated my friggin' banker.
There you go. That true life experience.
Yep.
Oh my gosh. And you didn't think of that angle, Johnny.
Didn't come to mind.
Country music, you know, you're the hero. She, for some reason, she couldn't pay for her gas, and the card wasn't working, and she couldn't pull out cash from the ATM, and you were there, and he said, "Don't worry, I got it, but you owe me a coffee these days, or pay it forward." Maybe it's Clay Walker, Charlie Pride, you know, "Don't let the chain of love end with you."
Yeah.
And it's all centered around the physical automatic teller machine too. And that could be the concept.
And a thing too, like thinking of Cash Memphis, knowing that he does hip hop, Christian hip hop and stuff. And he's also a singer and stuff too, but going, okay, I'm here to be an ATM. I'm here to give. I'm not here to take deposits, right? My whole life should be about giving what the Lord gave me, be a flow through, right? The ATM doesn't make the money, but the ATM, you know, the money comes from other places and it gives it out.
Oh, is that a metaphor for testifying? Is that a metaphor for preaching?
Like, it could be like, I just want to testify, be an automatic teller machine, tell the gospel, tell the good news, or help others. Like James Taylor song, "That's Why I'm Here." You know, "Hey, James, can I borrow your truck? That's why I'm here." That sort of thing could be too. Like, that's what I want to be. You know, that's what I'm here for. That's what I want to be. I don't always do it perfectly, but, you know, I just want to be an automatic teller machine, you know. And
yeah, and with the acronyms, All That Matters, all the man you need, which obviously for the, you know, for the female role in the relationship. But if this is, if this has to do with God, you know, it's like, always tell me, always trust me.
Ooh,
you know, I will be here for you. And I never run out. You don't need anything. You don't need a password. You just always come to me. Always tell me, always trust me.
Yeah.
And you know, that'll be the ATM. And God is the ATM of information and love and affirmation and just true goodness. All that is good.
And it never, it's never out of order. Yeah. It's never low on cash. It's never low on what you need.
Never
you
low
know?
On funds.
Yeah.
So this is interesting.
It's like a great ATM, you know, not like a peace and prosperity. Yeah. Like, I love Jesus, so I deserve a bigger house. But he's like my grace ATM. Like, funds are always available if I need forgiveness, if I need grace, if I need peace, if, you know, that kind of stuff. So it's not. And so in a way, it would subvert that expectation of money. To be, well, what's this ATM, what's this automatic teller machine giving out that's more than money, more valuable? That could be fun too.
Well, I'll tell you guys a little story. Earlier on in my career, when I was a kid, I made traditional country albums. And my grandma, who was very spiritual, she asked me to record a song that was her favorite. And it's called "The Royal Telephone." And it's like, "We may talk to Jesus through this royal telephone." And it was like this one line that you could talk to Jesus. "Central's never busy, always on the line. You can hear from heaven almost any time. 'Tis a royal service, free for one and all. When you get in trouble, give this royal line a call." And it was from 1919. And it was from an old book, and I learned it, and I recorded it. So that could be like the 2022 version is this automatic teller machine for the gospel and to connect with Jesus at any time. Yeah. And so we're kind of making something old new again and recycling that concept, which is very cool. How, you know, she must be listening in on this call and you know, maybe helping us steer in that direction today.
Nice.
Yeah. I like it. Yeah. 'Cause it's trying to find a new window to look into the same old room. That's all we're trying to do, is find a new window into the same room. You know, the same ideas, the same concepts that have been around forever. And it's like, how do we just find our own little twist on that?
There's a song I recorded called "Drink About Me," as you said at the beginning. And Matt Rogers and Ben Stennis wrote that song. And I, more times than I can count, people have come up to me and said, "I can't believe that that wasn't written before. And I can't believe that it's like 2020, 2021. And we're just hearing that concept when it seems so simple. And yet here at this ATM idea, I mean, if it actually really hits, and if we wrote that and it was just sonically and structurally sound. And Ted Hewitt, he might have told me when we were writing together 12 years ago, this analogy where it says songs, you know, can have loose strings. And if you pull on a string, it can unravel the entire song.
Yeah.
So if this is such a big title and a big concept that it's either going to work brilliantly and everybody's going to be like, I can't believe you pulled that off and it is so great. Or you're going to pull on this loose thread and this loose thread. It's going to unravel. They're going to look at Johnny D, Cash Memphis, and Brett Kissel and be like, you swung for the fences and it was the single biggest strikeout in the history of music.
Like just corkscrewed right into the ground.
Yeah. That's the challenge, but also the risk reward benefit with a very unique title and concept like this.
Yeah. There you go. I think we got probably 8 to 10 good looks at this, you guys. You did well. Everybody did good.
Thank you.
Jeez, all right. Well, that brings us to the end of another killer song title challenge. Send your titles in. We need more titles all the time. Send them in to info@daredevilproduction.com. Put STC or song title challenge into the subject line. And you never know. You might get a major label artist that's going to hop on and help, you know, give you a North Star on how to write those lyrics and make that happen. Brett Kissel, thank you so much for coming on, saying yes. Hey, you're fun, dude. We got to do this again. Like, you're a good time.
You're fun.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it's an instant yes, fellas. This was really good. And it got my brain working. I'm a little foggy, you know, with being a new dad again. And everything like that. I'll tell you, the amount of sleep I'm getting is very, very low. So this is a great exercise to see if that part of my brain still works.
Well, good. Well, thank you, Cash, for sending that in, man. I can't wait to see what you come up with it. This podcast exists because we want you to win. So keep on climbing.
And we'll see you at the top.